Hello, everybody. My name is Trudy, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Trudy.
And I want to thank Hackner for inviting me to do this workshop. Y'all need to know that I am not real comfortable doing workshops. However, I agreed to do it, so I'm going to follow through with my commitment. And I can't wait till it's over with, okay? So, yeah. So, Prestige, you know, I did some reading and studying and all of that. And I called my sponsor, like, when I was asked to do it, a week after I agreed to do it. And I told her, I'm not going to be able to do this. She said, why not? I said, I'm too anxious. And my anxiety is really driving me crazy, and I can't think, I can't sleep. And she said, what happened with, you know, just for today, staying in the moment? I said, well, hell, I guess I'm going to be like this until that day. So anyway, you know, she talked to me as she always does and always brings me back and lets me, you know, remember what my focus, you know, what my purpose is. And that's to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, right? So, yeah, and with that in mind, I said, okay, I'll do it. Because I have to remain grateful, you know. And my clean date is 9/7/05. I just celebrated 14 years last Saturday. So, yeah. That's a big deal. That's a big freaking deal for me, man. I don't know about you, but it is for me. So, Prestige, you know, I remember growing up, I was talking to a friend of mine earlier about when I was growing up, I always wanted what other people had. You know, I was never okay with what I had. And being Mexican, and I went to school with a bunch of white girls, and they all had clothes, they had nice homes, cars, and all that shit, right? And I wanted what they had. And that was prestige, right? So there was this one girl, I'll never forget, we were playing volleyball, and she was a white girl, and I was real jealous of her. I had all this jealousy and all this shit going on with me as a young girl. And we were playing volleyball, and when it was time for jump ball, instead of me hitting the ball, I went and I, you know, slammed her. So, yeah, I was pretty feisty when I was growing up. So, I connected with her like 6 years ago on Facebook, and I made some amends. And you know what she said, y'all? She said, you know what, Trudy? All I wanted was to be your friend. Man, that broke my heart. I'm like, damn, you know? And I was so caught up in my shit that I didn't even realize that I could actually have been her friend, you know, and maybe gone and swam in her swimming pool and shit, you know? But so, like I said, I never wanted to be who I was. I always wanted what you had, and I wanted to be who you were, not knowing who I was and what I really have. Okay, so also, in my addiction, I always looked for the dope dealer, the one that had the most dope. You know, that's who I was going to hook up with because I wanted you to know that I had it going on and I was with the dope dealer. So that was some prestige because it's like if I'm with him, you're going to recognize me not knowing that my self-esteem was so low, you know, and I didn't feel worthy. But if you see me with these people, you'd recognize me too, right? So anyway, that went on for a long, long time, and that caused me to go to hanging out with dope dealers, eventually shooting dope and going to prison and stuff like that, which didn't help my self-esteem. So then getting into recovery, my mouth gets real dry, y'all. Getting into recovery, I also had that frame of mind of, let me see who's got the best recovery, who's got the best home group, who's working the best steps, who's got the best sponsor. I want that, and I want that, and I want that, right? So I do believe that I have the best home group, yeah. And if you don't think you have the best home group, well, then you probably don't. But so anyway, I got involved into, okay, let me back up. My first sponsor was a, she was a school teacher. She'd not been to prison. She'd not tricked. She didn't shoot dope. She didn't do none of that. So I was like, well, she's a school teacher, you know? But, you know, she's good, man. She's going to be able to teach me some stuff. Well, anyway, she ended up relapsing. And so I moved to Galveston, and that's when, see, I started in the other fellowship. And when I got to Galveston, I seen how big NA was. And I was attracted to it. So I started asking women that I knew had a lot of clean time, would they sponsor me? And I heard this earlier about somebody said they had a bunch of sponsors. And I would ask like so-and-so to sponsor me because I knew she had a lot of clean time. And but I was, they were just my sponsors in name. I never did any work with them, right? So anyway, I moved to Houston, and I got involved in my home group, Familia Unida. That is, it's not my home group now, but it'll be my forever home group. I'm just going to say that. And anyway, I got involved in H&I, okay? And I love H&I. H&I is, you know, it's my heart. So I got involved in H&I, and I was the H&I chair and all of that. H&I, you know, I did the prison and all of that. So whenever there would be a speaker, like at a convention, and they say, does anybody do H&I? I'm like, yeah, I do. You know, wanting to be recognized, wanting that prestige, right? And all of that is about ego, you know? And I'm learning that a lot of the stuff that I did in early recovery was about ego, and that was because I wanted you to recognize that I was doing something. I was doing something good. I was doing something different, right? And so now if they ever ask, does anybody do H&I, I'm like, yeah. You know, I'm not going to jump up on the chair and say, yeah, I do H&I. Because, you know, I mean, it's a good thing, but I heard someone say, when you say you're humble, you're not humble anymore, right? When you say, well, I'm a humble person, well, that you just took away being humble, right? So anyway, what I try to do, y'all, is I try to just be, I've done some step work, and I'm on another set of steps, and I've been able to look at myself and some of my beliefs and my behaviors, you know, my attitudes, and that's what recovery is all about, right? About changing the beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors. So I've had to look deep, and my sponsor is so big on me not harming myself, you know, because I'll do stuff, I'll act out in some behaviors that don't make me feel real good about myself, you know? And so having to look at that and dig deep, like she says, go to the basement, you know, and I'm like, damn, there's still some more shit in that basement. I'm going to have to go deeper, for real, man, because you know what? I mean, 30 years of using and tricking and this prestige and all of this stuff that I did, you know, I mean, there's some stuff in there that I really, and then it didn't start then. It started from a child. You know, like I said earlier, I wanted what you had. And it's funny, I remember I was in the second grade, and there was a teacher that asked a question. She said, does it rain? Is the sun shining when it rains? And I had my hand up, like, yeah, I had the answer. But she asked this little girl next to me to answer, and she answered wrong. But she was a white little girl. And I'm like, she didn't ask me because I was Mexican. I was in the second grade, man. You know, where did that shit come from, right? Anyway, so, I'm doing some work now to not harm myself as much. And then it said in the Seek and Prestige, in the Guiding Principles, when you have a lot of clean time, you think you're above people, right? Wrong, you're not. We're all, you know, there's no big I's and no little U's. We're all the same, and we're all addicts in here. And we're all seeking the same thing, some of us, right? So I know that I have people that go, oh, you got a lot of sponsees, Trudy, you know. And I'm like, the only reason I have all these sponsees is because God knows that I need all these sponsees because I'm sick. And in order for me to teach them, I have to be on top of mine, right? So, yeah, that's, you know, and I do have a lot of sponsees, but not all of them are working the program. So anyway, yeah, when you know, I see some people that are always asked to do conventions and they're circuit speakers. And as a newcomer, I used to look up to these people. I thought they were God, you know, and goddesses because they knew the answers. They had all the answers, right? But no, as I continue recovery and I learn and I read the literature, I realize that it's anonymity. We're all the same. You could be a doctor, a nurse, or whatever the fuck. But, you know, when you come in here, we're all addicts, right? So, you know, that seeking prestige. And then you see these people getting these fancy cars and all of that. And it's like, okay, that's nice, you know. But what are you doing for your recovery? Like, whenever I hear people in meetings, they'll be talking a real good program. And they're bringing it. But when they leave the meeting, what are they doing? You know, how are they acting? How are they living? So, you know, if you're not walking what you're talking, well, then what's the point, right? So, anyway, like I was saying, I'm getting a little. You know what, y'all? I need to share with y'all. I have a lot of fears, right? And I was sharing with my friend earlier. My sponsee sister, my mom's got dementia, okay? And I'm probably gonna get emotional. And there's that fear that I might have it, you know? And then my disease really fucks with me and tells me, you have it. You're gonna go up there and you're not gonna be able to talk, you're not gonna be able to articulate, you're not gonna be able to carry a good message because you got this shit going on. But me talking about it, listen, just, and that was the first time I'd ever shared it. And I shared it, and guess what? It lost some of its power. Some of its power, man, because, you know, they say pain shared is pain lessened. And I love our literature. I like what it says, and more will be revealed. All we ever really wanted was to feel good about ourselves, right? So, you know, and working the steps and finding out who I am and my self-worth, I'm actually feeling good about myself. You know, I can look at you in the eye. I don't have to hide, you know, and put my head down. And I noticed that whenever I was asked to speak in my first years, I would always put my head down. I'm like, what the hell was that all about? And it was something I recognized, you know. I'm like, so don't put your head down because, you know, there's nothing to be ashamed of anymore. So, let me see. I said, you know, I don't know if I was going to be able to speak 30 minutes or however long, but I did say that I was going to come up here and say how extremely grateful I am for Narcotics Anonymous and where I'm at and what it's taught me, what it continues to teach me. And it did say I don't have it with me, something about seeking false prestige when all... I'm paraphrasing, when all we ever needed to be was recognize our self-worth and something like that. So, like I said, working the steps, I'm being able to recognize these things, you know, about who I am. And here I am at a convention, and, you know, I have a lot of people that love me. And they come up to me, and they're like, oh, Trudy, man. And I'm like, and they'll tell me stuff like, one guy said earlier, your reputation really follows you around. And I'm like, oh. But he said, no, I mean that in a good way. And I'm like, okay, that's good, you know. And I hear that. I hear that from people, you know, because I had a reputation, man, for real. You know, doing some shit out there. But and coming in here and just treating people the way I want to be treated, just being kind, you know, and loving on people. And I love hugs. I love hugs. So if y'all, you know, want a hug, give me a hug after this. And they tell me, you know, you're thought of very highly. And I'm like, don't tell me that shit. I don't want to hear that, you know, because then I don't think I'll ever get to the point where, you know, you've got some good recovery, man. People want what you have and shit like that. I don't ever want to get to that point where I think I have good recovery and people want what I have, you know. It's like, if you want what we have and you're willing to make the effort is a key word, right? Yeah, so, you know, and it's probably, like I said earlier, it's probably a good thing that I don't know that about myself. Because I would walk around like, yeah, I got it going on and shit like that, and knowing damn good and well, I'm just an addict. I'm just an addict, you know, and I'm we all suffer from the same disease, and we're all in here trying to get the same thing. So, My primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. And I haven't gone and done any H&I in a while, but I definitely need to get back to it because it's, you know, that's my love. I love that. And there's, you know, when you see someone that you carried the message to in the prison and they're out here and they're sitting right there, it's like, yeah, man, it's really, really cool, you know that you carried the message to them and they're here and they got it. Okay. And they're still here. Yeah, so, and it's nothing I did. It was just because I suited up and showed up and did something that I love to do, you know. So anyway, I don't think that I can talk anymore, so that's all I have. All right. Thank you.
All right, our next speaker is Derek.
Hey, Derek.
I'm an addict named Derek.
Hey, Derek.
First and foremost, man, if there's anybody new to Narcotics Anonymous, welcome. Welcome home. Welcome to a new way of life, man. The message is hope and the promise is freedom. And if you're new and you're feeling uncomfortable with all these people smiling and laughing and having a good time, like, welcome. If the hugs weird you out, welcome. You know, I was there too. That's the biggest thing I'm gonna say, man, because, like, my sponsor reminds me often that clean time is a privilege and not a rank. And I know that when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, man, I was very uncomfortable, right? When I used to want to share in a meeting, like, I would sit there and, like, I would share and I would turn, like, purple and then my back would be sweating and I'm like, yo, like, you know, this big thing. And the reality was, man, is at some point I told myself, Derek, they're just a bunch of addicts just like you. You might be a little more fucked up than they are, but they're just like you, right? And so that's why I share that, man. Like, I got clean in San Diego, California, man. And, like, the newcomer was the most important person. And not because they remind me what it's like out there. I was taught the newcomer's the most important person because I can only keep what I have by giving it away. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, one of my favorite speakers I heard, man, he said, when I walk into a meeting, man, I want the crosshairs on the forehead of the newcomer. Right? He said something else, too. I'll never forget. He said, never do I want to have the arrogance to walk into a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous and shoot the message right over the newcomer's head. When I heard that, it hit my spirit, man. So, like, this is the type of stuff that I was drawn to, right? And so, like, I got a topic, and I got to come up out of some literature real quick, man. It's in the Guiding Principles, page 100. This is the lovely topic that they chose for me, man. And it says, although the word prestige commonly refers to admiration or respect, its origins refer to illusions or trickery. At its root, then, prestige is often false, an illusion. In a fellowship where we are all equal, where anonymity is our spiritual foundation, the illusion of prestige is particularly destructive. Whether we believe our job is impressive or our service is visible, or we think our clean time gives us rank or clout among our peers. Seeking prestige in Narcotics Anonymous means we are setting ourselves apart. Doing so is not only toxic to the atmosphere of recovery, it is incredibly dangerous for us personally. We dismiss most of the people who could save our lives as not good enough. A member shared, my ego has taught me more about the 12 traditions than anything else. We are liable to seek false prestige when we don't believe this to hit right here, y'all. I want you to pay attention to this. We are liable to seek false prestige when we don't believe we can be loved for who we are. When we learn the painful lesson that prestige tends to be hollow, false, illusory, not at all, the respect, dignity, and value we were seeking, we are able to experience real connection with ourselves, our fellows, and our higher power. Woo! That's some good shit right there, right? And see, like, check this out, man. I'm a literature dude, man. I love the literature, right? Like, when I share, I come up out of the literature, man. This is the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Some people are like, oh, there they go, reading that literature again or quoting that literature again. Like, check it out, man. When you get a chance to share your way, you share your way. When I get a chance to share, I share my way, right? Because I've learned to get comfortable with me and what makes me feel good, right? And so, like, when I come up out of some literature, that puts me in a zone to share a message of Narcotics Anonymous and not Derek's Anonymous.
Come on.
Because I can get the game fucked up real quick. Right? And see, like, I say this prayer to this God, like, hey, man, shoot a message of recovery from you through me. I don't want to ever get it twisted, man. Talking about prestige, man. Look, I learned from my predecessors, I don't ever want to lose myself behind this microphone. Right? Like, I try to, like, remember real often that this is just a mission from my God. This is Narcotics Anonymous saying, hey, Derek, we got a mission for you. And Narcotics Anonymous always showed up for me, and I do my best to always show up for NA. Right? I'm grateful for the committee, man. I'm grateful for anybody that's of service to Narcotics Anonymous, man. Like, for real, you guys love me back to life, man. You know, it's talking about prestige, and I'm thinking about some stuff, right? Because I didn't really know what I was going to share about this time. I still don't, but thank God for that prayer, right? So if it comes out all twisted and you guys aren't happy about it, you can go pray and talk to God, because I prayed and asked him to deliver it. So talk to the delivery, man. It ain't on me, right? And so, like, I laugh, man, because, like, we talk, look, man, I get clean, right? And then I get my cheeks back, right? And she comes into my life, and I get the job, and I get a couple things, and all of a sudden, I'm like, somebody, right? All of a sudden, I forget that kid that walked in broken, empty, lost, not knowing what was going on, right? One of my biggest things, man, when they're in the meeting high, and people are like, oh, there they go. Man, like, thank God they're in here. I didn't forget, man, my last day using, right? Because my homeboy in San Diego told me early on, if you don't remember your last day using, chances are it ain't your last day using, right? And see, like, when I see him nodding, I just want to hug him, man. When I see him standing on the corner with the sign, it's not like, oh, look. It's like, man, I just want to hug him and let him know, like, hey, man, there's a place that you can go that will love you back to life, right? And all of a sudden, I get a couple days clean and think I'm somebody. And you know what? Like, look, check it out, man. Today, I believe that I am somebody. But when I hit this room with you guys, man, we're all equal, right? And I don't ever want to get that twisted, man. I'm gonna read something else because now I'm fired up, right? I gotta do a little look. 12 tradition, man. Throughout our traditions, we speak in terms of we and our rather than me and mine. By working together for our common welfare, we achieve the true spirit of anonymity. We have heard the phrase principles of four personalities so often that it's like a cliche. While we may disagree as individuals, the spiritual principle of anonymity makes us all equal as members of the group. No member is greater or less than any other member. The drive for personal gain in areas of sex, property, and social position, which brought so much pain in the past, falls by the wayside if we adhere to the principle of anonymity. Anonymity is one of the basic elements of our recovery, and it pervades our traditions and our fellowship. It protects us from our own defects of character and renders personalities and their differences powerless. Anonymity in action makes it impossible for our personalities to come before principles. That could be the hit right there, man. We could just chalk it up. Thank God for the literature in Narcotics Anonymous, man. What gives me the comfort in reading that literature is it's written by addicts for addicts, right? And so, like, once I found that, man, because I'm going to share this, right? I've been to, like, my parents asked me my whole life, what is wrong with you? The teachers will look, what is wrong with you? Girlfriends, what is wrong with you? Still today, my friends, they look at me sometimes, they say, what is wrong with you? Addicts wrote this literature. I don't know what an addict looks like, but I know what one feels like. Right? And see, because I think, man, it's the dude all tatted up, man. Oh, he's definitely an addict. You know, the little nice little lady that's doctor shopping, she can't be an addict. That's grandma. The disease of addiction does not discriminate, man. You know what? This topic comes out of the sixth tradition, and I'm going to get personal with you guys, right? See, like, I celebrated 5 years in July. And so, like, this last, like, kind of 6 months to a year has been, like, kind of difficult for me internally. My spirit has been corrupted, right? And, like, you know what? That's why I love, man, this is a journey and not a destination, right? Because, like, just because I got 5 years clean, just because I worked around the steps, just because I worked around the traditions with my sponsor, I am not motherfucking cured. And thank God for it, right? Because the longer I stay here, the more I realize why I use to begin with. Because it's not about what I'm using. It's not where I'm using. It's not who I'm using with, how I'm using. But why am I using on a daily basis, man? Why do I feel the need to put something in me to kill myself, man? Why is it that without anything in me, without her, without the money, without all this, do I not feel enough? Right? It said right here, man, we are liable to seek false prestige when we don't believe we can be loved for who we are. That part right there, man. And see, like, because I learned in the first step with these untrue belief systems that I was not good enough. That my mom ruined me, right? That my dad instilled in me every day that, like, I was a piece of shit. I was going to work on a trash truck, right? If you work on a trash truck, don't take no offense to that. That's just what my dad told me because he thought, you know, but whatever. So, like, he told me these things, man. And so, like, what happened was I started to believe these things, man. So, like, when I'm shooting dope in the porta potty with a dirty needle, I'm believing this is where I'm supposed to be. I didn't have no love for me, clearly. When I turned myself into a pincushion, that is not showing that I love me. Right? Crack is whack. When I put that pipe to my mouth, man, that is not showing that I love me. When time and time again, man, like doing, look, I just worked the second step right and talked about, like, you know, you hear insanity doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. No, check this out. I'm the addict that does the same thing over and over and over, knowing exactly what's coming down the pipes. And so, like, check it out, man. I worked this round of steps. And when I first got clean, right, it was like, you guys told me what had worked for you, and I kind of was just doing this in blind faith. I didn't know if it was going to work for me, but I knew everything that I had done getting to July 25th, 2014 didn't work for me. So, like, I did this first round of steps. In the first couple years, man, I was a lunatic, bro. Crazy. I still am crazy. Don't get it twisted. I'm not up here to try to put on, like, I'm this saint, little addict, perfect. Nah, believe me. So my first couple years, man, it was just have fun and stay clean. You know, I did some work, and I created a lot of pain for myself. And, like, I don't have the luxury to be the one that's, like, loitering with the intent to recover. Right? I don't have that ability. If I'm not staying busy, I'm in trouble, right? Because, like, the truth is that, like, when I don't do the work, I get that same feeling that I had my whole life, man, that led me to the drugs, that led me to her, right? And so, like, I worked this round of steps, man. I went through a bunch of pain, but now I'm coming up on, like, a different, like, yo, check this out. It's really cool. In Narcotics Anonymous, you grow the fuck up. Like, when I got clean at 25, what do you mean grow up? Like, I'm grown. I'm 25, you know. Now I'm at 30, and I'm like, damn, bro, when you was 25, you were mentally like 12 probably. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just the truth. I look at, like, the things that I've done clean, and I'm like, bro, you was not grown, my man. You was really off the hook. And so, like, you know, I come up on this next round of steps, man, and, like, you know, the last 6 months has been, like, really painful, because I'm feeling this feeling of not enough. I'm feeling this feeling of like that love for me is not there. And like where it has come in is through the sixth tradition, right? Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose, right? And see, it's one thing to get clean and like, yo, like check it out, right? I get clean and I've lost the desire to use. But the disease of addiction will put the desire to commit suicide in my head because I don't feel good enough. Yeah. And that's a painful place to be, man. To be clean and knowing you really want to love you and knowing that this stuff works, but the disease got you at this angle where you're just not enough. And it says, yo, don't even get high, man. Just end your life. And I've been struggling with this, man. I've been going through it, right? Because I'm like, dude, you're 5 years clean. Look at them. They got one or two or maybe 60 days. They're in a looks like a healthy relationship, right? They got a good job. They got money. Look, damn, they just bought a house. He ain't even finished his third step, and he's already buying a house. Like, what is wrong with me, man?
Yeah, come on.
Right? And so I focus on what others got, and I forget about everything that I have. See, because what I've obtained around here is some spiritual richness that no money was ever able to buy.
Right.
I'll never forget my dad driving me to my first treatment center to Philadelphia, crying like a baby. And my dad wasn't a crier, man. And crying like a baby. And him saying to me, Derek, if I could just put enough money to pay to take this away from you, I would. That's how our families really care and love, man. But you can't put a price on what we got here, right? My sponsor, he says all the time, a medallion is priceless, a coin is worth money. That's why we call our thing medallions, man, because it's priceless, right? And so, like, you're going to give me a five, right? I'm not like her. I'm a long-winded.
No, you're good. You're good.
Once I get to going, I'll be going. I need to be cut off like a lot of other times in my life. You know? Thank God we always had somebody that said, all right, bud, that's enough. So, like, through this process, man, like, I've been feeling this pain. And guess what, man? Once I get clean, man, I got choices today. That thing inside is saying, man, kill yourself. The recovery in my heart is saying, man, tell somebody what you're feeling. Like, what grows in the dark will die in the light of exposure, man. Right? Like, honest sharing is the antidote to disease thinking, because just because I'm feeling and I'm thinking one way don't mean I got to act on it, right? And so, like, I call one of my predecessors, man, in Vegas, right? And I say, yo, Tony, I said, man, I got to be real with you, bro. Like, this is how I'm feeling, man, and I'm not really sure why. And I'm starting to tell him everything that's going on in my life, and he says, yo, D, it sounds like you've lost your sense of purpose. That fifth tradition, man. Primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict that still suffers, man. Check this out, man. That don't have no clean time on it, right? And I've learned that around here, man. Just because I got a couple days clean, just because I've done a couple things around here, just because I worked some steps, man, does not mean that I'm never going to suffer, right? And so, like, when he said that to me, it made sense, right? Because I go through these periods in my recovery. I've gone through them and I'm still going through them. Is that I start to focus on that money, property, and prestige. It becomes an obsession. And when I'm obsession, I got some expectations. And when the expectations are not met, I'm feeling down on myself. Right? Because we talk about in the step where they're like, yo, with or without relationships, I'm okay. With or without money, I'm okay. Like, yo, I want to just be able to go in the middle of the woods and hang out with me all day and just be okay. That's a cold motherfucking piece right there. See, I drove from San Diego to Baltimore when I moved. And I made the trip across the country by myself. I didn't have to do it alone because I stopped and hit meetings all along. But it was a lot of 10-hour, 8-hour, 7-hour, 12-hour drives where it was just me and my God. And when I left there, man, I was not in a good place. But God revealed to me that, like, yo, check it out, homeboy. I don't care what you think you got. You was just able to stand you from a trip from San Diego to Baltimore. That's a good feeling, man. See, because I could come in here and I could share all kinds of stuff with you guys, man. But when I go home and I look in my eyes in the mirror, what am I really feeling? Because that's a cold piece, man. Because I've been here and, like, coming here and sharing real good, oh, good sharing as Derek, right? And then I go home and I look in the mirror and I'm still in disgust at who I am. Because my behaviors ain't lining up, right? And because it's not the behaviors that are killing me. It's the feelings that come behind it. And when I'm real vulnerable like that, feelings lead to bad actions. I'm not one of those people that say, like, oh, using is not an option for me today. Check it out. Using is always an option for me. But Narcotics Anonymous has instilled in me that it's not a good one today. My past has repeatedly shown me that using is not a good one today. My favorite line, the lie is dead, we do recover. What that means for me is I don't have to believe what's happening up here. Right? Because, like, my head still, like, I like to call it storytelling time. I hear some people laughing. That's a good identification, right? So I get in this relationship, right? She starts doing this. She don't answer the phone for 4 hours. Storytelling time. Here we go, boy. Hey. Oh, shit, she added me on Facebook and, like, 2 of my pictures. Storytelling time. Here we go. You know what I'm saying? She must like me. Maybe she heard me share before. Yeah, like, I'm going to get real, right? I'm going to get real honest, man. Because sometimes, man, I put myself in a position where, like, I think I'm somebody because I've been asked to share. There's a lot of times I hope there's some pretty women in the room when I'm sharing because I think I might get lucky afterwards. I'm going to be honest and raw and real right now, man. This is my process. If I don't share with you guys, some shit might happen. Sometimes I get it twisted that, yo, this is just a message from God. Go show up, right? And thank God for my predecessors, man, because when they share, I listen to them, right? I got some men in my life that, like, have really helped me out with this because, you know what, the sharing thing has become a thing for me. But, like, yo, it's not, it don't mean I got no rank, man. I'm no different than the coffee maker. I'm no different than the greeter, than the service people, right? Than the we're sitting in the seat, man. Like, yo, if it wasn't for the newcomer, I wouldn't even be standing up here. That clean time don't matter, man. My sponsor always says this, right? He just celebrated 22 years. And he always tells me, he say, yo, D, I got 22 years of reference points, but we're all working on the same 24 hours. And I really, man, I pay attention, right? Like, yo, check this out. When people see, I had sponsors my whole life. I had a sponsor teach me how to smoke crack. I had a sponsor taught me how to smoke weed, shoot heroin, because I didn't know how to do these things. And best and believe, when they was teaching me to do this stuff, I was paying attention. So when I get to recovery, best and believe, when my predecessors, when my sponsor is telling me some stuff, I'm paying attention, man. Like, I've had 2 sponsors, man, that I believe that they're real humble dudes. They're men that I really look up to, man, at what they do in their life, right? My sponsor, he travels with his lady all over, man. And, you know, when we sit down to do step work, we're just 2 addicts, man, in recovery. Right, like, we just went over this second step, man, and we're kicking it on the porch. He brought some food out, right? I show up, he's got some food, and we're just kicking it on the porch, man. And, like, yo, like, that's the beautiful thing, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, talking about prestige, man, like, I don't take sponsorship as, like, I'm running these dudes' lives. I see that sometimes, man. I get clean, and I'm like, well, you need to do this, and you need to do that. Oh, if you get in a relationship, I can't sponsor you. Oh, you sleep with her, I can't sponsor you. I've heard shit like that. Yeah. You know what my sponsor told me? He said, yo, check it out. You are a grown-ass man. You are going to do what you want to do. If you want my suggestion, I'll give it to you. If you take it, cool. And if not, I'm going to love you through it no matter what. And thank God he told me that, man, because, like, yo, I caused a lot of damage clean. You know, like, that force, that man, is long, right? And when more of them is clean, right? The eighth and ninth step was long. When more of them is you clean, drugs are clearly just a symptom of the disease. So, like, my sponsor, man, he taught me this, and he let me live. He didn't rob me of my pain. Look, when I used to call him and say, dude, I'm not going to sleep with my ex-girlfriend no more, he would say, all right, that sounds like a good idea. When 4 days later, I would call him, hey, man, I slept with her last night. He said, okay. And he always loved me for that day. Maybe it's not a good idea. He didn't say to me, well, I told you last week, you dummy. He just loved me for that day. And he let me have a process. And when the pain becomes greater than the fear of change, I will surely let go. See, I don't like to, look, man, my sponsees, man, they come in, I don't tell them, don't get in a relationship in your first year clean. I don't believe in that. Who am I? I'm not God. Who am I to say when you're going to find the love of your life, man? The Living Clean book talks about you might see the most spiritual person in NA, like, have several failed marriages behind them. You might see two newcomers find a way to make it work. I'm not God. I don't know what's good for you. We talk about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, and I'm already putting limitations on how you're going to live your life. I'm talking about, like, yo, man, I tell my spine, man, bob till you drop. When the pain becomes great enough, talk to me. Because I've lived it and I got some experience, man. I've learned that, like, everything I go through in recovery, when I struggle and I make it through clean, now God has presented an opportunity to be of service to somebody else. See, because I think this suicidal shit is all about me, but now I got some feelings that I made it through clean, that I can help somebody when I show up at a meeting and they're sharing, yo, I just want to kill myself. I can go up to them and say, yo, check it out, I've been there. I've been reminded several times that I'm never alone in Narcotics Anonymous, man, and I've been given the gift, right, to be able to share with somebody else that they're never alone either. See, when I hit that sexual shit on the fourth step that I was never going to tell anybody, my sponsor didn't act like he was above me, man. He shared his experience with me and met me on my level. That gave me the freedom, man, to start tearing those chains off of me so that I could be free, so that I didn't have to use no more. Then I have to walk around with my head down, man. I could feel okay with just being me. And I don't know if y'all, man, if you guys can identify, but listen, just feeling okay with me is good enough. Right? Just having that comfort inside with me. Check it out, right? I laughed the other night. I leave this meeting, man, my sponsor celebration. I drop my sponsor, y'all. And I say, yo, what are we going to do now? And see, like, I like self-destructive behavior, so, like, I like to participate in some things that fuck me off. And so I'm like, well, it's nighttime. What are we going to do? We look at the DM. Well, there ain't a lot going on in the DM. We got the casino. We could always go there. We know what happens, you know, because I'd have spent every dime I would have that was going to get me here and be like, fuck, I've been there. I've done shit like that, right? Casino's not. Derek, why don't you take yourself out on a date? What a gift, man. So guess what I did? I went and I sat at Outback Steakhouse all by myself, ate a meal, and enjoyed my company. You know what I'm saying?
My
hey.
Man. My man. Come
on, dude. Best looking date I ever had. Hey, hey. See, now, look, ego got to creep in a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Hey. You know what, man? Check this out. If you're new, give yourself a break, man. The reality is, man, is I need you just as much as you need me. And I learned with sponsorship, man, that, like, it's a two-way street, right? That, like, when I sit down and I think I'm doing something for somebody else, God is always doing something for me. And half the time, I can't even see it. You know, like, I've learned that. So, like, if you're new, please give yourself a break. If you're in here with some clean time and struggling, my sponsor shared some experience with me that he never wants to suffer behind his clean time. Right? I got to come in here and get honest. I ain't here to be the most popular motherfucker. If it happens, cool. If not, I'll be all right. I've done some work where, like, whether you guys like me or not, I'm going to lay down at night and I'm going to feel okay with me and I'm going to go to sleep and feel just fine. And when I don't, I call you guys and tell you and I get into the solution. I'm going to share this and I'm going to shut it down, man. My sponsor in California taught me, we can hear about the problem, but are you willing to get in the solution? Mm. Right? This is an action-based program, man. It's all about the solution. And my homeboy Tony in Vegas, man, he always used to tell me, say, yo, D, here in Narcotics Anonymous, we're in the business of saving lives, man. The business is booming. We need your guys' help, man. Thanks for letting me share.